Good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Eaton. I'm a director of operations at Genesis within our Beyond education team. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how trust affects our team. So one of the ways that I like to work with my teams is through that personal connection. I like to share, you know, things that have happened in my career to help make that contact with my team. And so that's kind of what I'm going to share today. I've got a season that I'm kind of coming through, finishing up. That's got some great points, how it affects trust in our teams. Got a few informational slides we'll go through, talk a little bit about myself, and then we'll jump into our topic. So if you're not familiar with Genesis, we're a global leader in cloud customer experience and contact center solutions. Genesis Cloud is our flagship product, providing omni-channel experience orchestration, workforce management, just to name a few. As a company, we span over 100 countries across the globe, 6 continents, and we've got a little over 6,000 employees. So Genesis Beyond is our education department, so I run the operations team there. So what we're providing is for our Genesis customers is technical training on our platforms, certification. We offer various modalities for our training. We do ebooks, we have self-study courses, instructor-led courses. We offer certification. We've got about 8,000 subscribers. We offer several different types of subscriptions for our platforms. So it's a very, very quickly growing area of business for us in educating our customers on how to take advantage of their platform. Our certifications were about 7,000 plus and continuing to grow. My operations team has a pretty wide breadth of responsibilities. So it starts with our support team. Our support team's handling access with our labs, account-related issues, invoicing questions, questions about our website. We have an education website that we're directly tied into. I've got a sales support team. The sales support team is handling kind of the end of the sales cycle. They're helping with order management, invoicing, working with finance. So we've got an aspect of Salesforce that we work out of and support for opportunity and product management as far as what we're selling. And then I've got the data and analytics team. They're helping provide reports, trends, data visualization to help the business make data-driven decisions. And then we run our program office, our PMO, out of ops as well. So he's helping to guide all of our project work that we've got going on. And then lastly, I've got kind of our tech team. Our tech team is managing our learning management system. Our learning management system is closely tied to our website. So they're really helping to drive that education experience, and they're managing some of our other tech projects that we have as well. So a little about myself. I've been with Genesis about 8.5 years. If you've been around Indy or remember Interactive Intelligence was here originally. I was with Interactive Intelligence. Came over through that merger and have been there up till now. So throughout my career, I've been a technical contributor. Early on in my career, I kind of bounced back and forth between being a single contributor and a leader. I've been a project manager. I've led multiple service-related projects. Dabbled in sales a little bit, did some pre-sales, technical consulting, and then ops has really been my home for the last several years. Prior to education operations, I was leading an operations team in our customer support area for customer and employee experience. So I've been married for 28 years. I've got 2 daughters, and my newest chapter in life is an 8-month-old grandson. So that's been very interesting to now have a child that has a child and for me to be called grandpa. So it's been very exciting. So today we're talking about really trust and buy-in. If you've been working for any amount of time, with a show of hands, how many have experienced one of these things? If you haven't, it'll be shock, right? And when those things happen, they affect our teams in some form. And they affect ourselves. We may end up with a new team. We may end up completely out of the organization. So the story I have for you today is based on, it started a phone call that I got on a Friday, and this is about 1.5 years ago. And the current VP that I was reporting to said, I've got an opportunity for you. And you don't know what's about to be told to you. Opportunity is a bit of a loose term. So Genesis is doubling down on our strategy. We're making some changes in the organization. Your current team is going to be impacted. They're going to be shuffling around to some other teams in the organization. But we've got an area of business that we feel like could use some leveling up. They need some work with some process improvement. They've got a lot of manual tasks that are happening. We'd like for you to drive some automation. We'd like for you to work on the tech stack. There's some technical debt there. They're not maybe using tools as well as they potentially could. And then lastly, they want to do some self-service type activities. So I said, great. These are things that I'm comfortable with. These are things I've done. It sounds like a good opportunity. So let's talk about the team. What kind of team are we building here? And they said, well, teams, it's already there. It's completely established. It's been there for years. The leadership is not happy with the current leader. So you're going to come in and take over this well-established team, and we need you to drive change. Well, this is the first time I've done this. Most teams that I've structured, I've taken current resources I've been able to pull in and build teams, or we're talking about hiring. So it was time to share the news. I had a couple weeks to kind of sit with this, take it all in, start talking to several of the leaders across the organization and start to get a feel for the business. What are some of the challenges? What are the things that are happening? And it was time to share my introduction to the team and all the great things that we're going to do. So how do we think that went?
Ethan or Google.
It did not go well. If you're an Office fan, I was Toby. So what happened? We were going to start doing great things. The team is still intact. There was still structure. No one was losing a job. We're going to start building some new and great things. Well, for the team, this was a big change. They had an established leader. They thought everything was going well. So they're unsure of their future. Ultimately, for me, I've got my strategy. I've got things that we need to work on. But for them, this was new for them, right? They needed time to take this in. Ultimately, they didn't trust me. So this was an area of the organization that cross-functionally I hadn't had a lot of exposure to. This is something with cross-functional projects. I hadn't come across this team. Most of my work had been done in our customer support stakes. So after, having some exciting conversations with the team where I got similar results, this was one of those opportunities where you listen to podcasts and you go on the videos and you have all the things that you've read in books about what you need to do as a leader to try to drive trust and buy-in. It was time to work on the relationship. Because what I realized, my resume didn't really matter to the team. They didn't care that I came from a background of driving process improvement. They didn't care that I understood the tool stack. They didn't really care too much about the great things I said we're going to do with the technology. So as I started having these conversations with the team to try to understand more about what was going on and what we're going to try to work towards, I started hearing things like, well, I've heard that before. We've been trying to do that for a long time. And that would be nice, but, and then name whatever the obstacle was. So in hearing all of this, I had to start considering this is going to be more of a people challenge than it is going to be a technical challenge. The hard skills for this, getting into the processes and the tools, that wasn't going to be as challenging as the people side. So as I'm having these conversations, I have to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of answers. I don't have an answer for everything, right? We need to get into this and we need to figure it out, but we're going to figure it out together. Understand the individual challenges. With a team this broad, each one of those teams had very specific issues. They were dealing with different tools. They had a lot of challenges that we had to kind of break into groups to look at this. More so than just dealing with their day-to-day, it was understanding what concerns do you have, not just about your job, but this is a big change, right? I'm new, you don't know me. We're talking about doing a lot of new things and taking things in different directions. So there is fear, right? Teams that were doing a lot of manual tasks, when you start talking about driving automation, then they start wondering, well, does that mean this is going to take away my job? Are you going to build something that's going to replace me? It wasn't about that. It was about value, right? It's about taking away those manual repetitive tasks that we do so we can focus on more higher value things. And to their surprise, I asked, how do you think we should do this? And to most of them, they hadn't been asked. They were just told, this is what you do. These are your processes. They've been documented. Here are your workflows. But I wanted this to be something that we built together, right? I think if we're truly going to be successful as a team and we're talking about building trust and buy-in from your team, they've got to be a part of it. Simply listening and acknowledging, I believe, goes a huge way in towards buy-in and trust, right? I may not do everything, right? When they may come up with ideas that we won't do, but how often have you started to go through a new process or something that's going to change, and you had an opportunity to share your opinion, and it maybe didn't go the way you thought. It didn't go that direction, but you felt better about it because you at least got to get it off your chest. You got to at least express your opinions, and you felt like you were part of the process. So we went through this for months. This is over months of dealing with this. This is a business top to bottom. So some time had passed, and I started to notice some things. Some things started to feel a little bit different. Some things had happened that started to clue me in that I think we're headed in the right direction. I started to see consistency. In the beginning, every day, every week, I couldn't tell you what was going to happen. The teams were unsure, and because they were unsure, they weren't, I wouldn't say they weren't working to full capacity, but there was a guardedness to what they were doing. They were very, protecting their own, so to speak. Those things started to smooth out. Things started to go back into what was normal. Invested. This was huge. In the beginning, whenever we were talking about new processes and new tools and how do we do things, it was me talking 99% of the time. It was me setting up a meeting with the right individuals and me talking through it and asking and trying to pull that feedback. Well, that started to change. We started to have meetings. I had team members that were starting to launch their own meetings and talk about how we can improve the process, how we can do better. Accountability, that started happening across the team itself. I stopped having to check in on things so often. The team started becoming more and more, they were more independent in how they were running our business, right? The extra. I use the extra because I didn't consider that same box. But it's going the extra mile. So we want our teams to do that, right? And we sometimes ask our teams to do a little extra from us from time to time. But those things started happening more organically. There's a report or maybe something I had asked that we needed. Here you go. But I also checked on this because I think it'd be important for this to know this next thing. So we started to see the teams taking those extra steps, starting to do more, kind of starting to come out of their shell a little bit more. And creativity, this was huge. When you're trying to drive process improvement, use technology better, build better processes, self-service. Again, so many of these meetings were me trying to lead the way and coax them out. This was kind of one of those turning points that I noticed with the team. I had a meeting that we had called to look at something in the invoicing process where it had a bunch of extra steps and we needed to work through it and improve it. It was taking a long time. Jumped into the call, everyone joined. Before I could say anything, one of the team members, one of my sales support specialists, said, I've already been thinking about this. I think I know how we can improve this. This was a huge change from what I had previously, especially from this particular sales support specialist. This was one that was very much guarded. This is not what I do. We don't do this. We don't do that. A lot of short answers. But we started to see this. We started to see the change in the team members. See it starting to build. Why? These are my opinion. This is my opinion of why I think these things happen. We tried to make them feel safe, right? They'd gone through a major change. They had saw some pretty dramatic change across our wider organization. Customer success was the larger organization. They weren't sure what was going to happen. I created a space for them where, tell me your opinion. I want to know your opinion. We're going to figure this thing out together. I wanted to know they were supporting. Things are going to break. Things are going to happen. That's okay. We're not throwing anybody under the bus. We're building something better for our business. They were included. If you remember previously, there was shock when I asked, how do you think we should do this? They hadn't been asked that before. making them included started to make them invested. They wanted to be more accountable. These things were building into the trust and the buy-in that we were going through. They were heard. I asked opinions all the time. I even told my team, if I say something dumb, tell me. If I say something that you know is not going to work, you got to tell me. I want to hear from you. And in the end, all of these things built into a team that was finally starting to feel bought in, right? We had taken, this had been close to a year process. Don't get me wrong, there was bumps and there were valleys throughout this process, but we got there. So as a leader, there are some behaviors that I think contribute to this. Consistent. If you remember, the first thing I said I noticed from the team was I got more consistency from them. I feel this is reciprocal as a leader, right? I think you, as a leader, your teams will respond to you. They'll respond how you react, how you show up, how you handle things. And that consistency, I believe, is very reciprocal in your teams. Communication. This was huge. I don't know about you, but I hate getting on a call where someone expects that you know something, and this is the first time you've heard of this. I didn't want that for my team, and I wanted to make sure that they felt they were in the know and I was communicating with them. Keep your word. This is huge. This is one of those things that I don't mean if you say we're going to finish a project at the end of the month that it doesn't happen. I'm talking about the small things, all these little things that happen every day, every week. And it may not seem like a big deal that you didn't deliver something, you didn't give them an email, you didn't give them a communication. But over time, this starts to erode, right? If you're trying to build trust and buy-in with your team, these little things, that slowly starts to chip away. Be authentic. Again, I try to share experiences with my team that I know they can relate to, right? As a leader, oftentimes you get into a room, if you have a room where you've got a team that's in front of you, it's hard to get them to speak sometimes. It's hard to get them to be authentic with you because they have some preconception of us as a leader, what you are. But you're another person, right? The things that I want as a person, your team wants too, right? Be authentic with them. Continue to build trust. This isn't a one and done. This isn't something like, phew, I got it. I'm done. I can move on. I can just check the boxes on the projects and things. I really feel like trust and buy-in is kind of a rental situation, right? I think there's kind of a base where you start to get that trust and buy-in from your team, but then there's all those interactions that happen, that continue to happen. Projects, new strategies, escalations, something breaks, somebody, you know, makes a mistake. There's all those opportunities where you can continue to build trust and buy-in with your team, with how you react, with how you show up, with how you behave with your team, or you can go the other way. You can start to erode that trust and buy-in. So this is a great, Simon Sinek, someone I like as a thought leader and, you know, in the leadership world. This is a quote that I really like, but there's a part of it that I would tweak slightly. So trust is maintained when values and beliefs are actively managed. Companies do not actively work to keep clarity, discipline, consistency, and balance, and trust starts to break down. Good. My slight tweak to this is trust is maintained when values and beliefs are actively managed. If leaders do not actively work to keep clarity, discipline, and consistency and balance, then trust starts to break down. I feel like this is something that's more personal as a leader. This is something that you're doing directly with your team. It's great if every leader in an organization is doing this, then sure, you could call it a corporate initiative, but this is a personal thing that you're doing, right? That clarity, that discipline, that consistency, it's what your teams need to thrive, right? You're creating structure. You're creating the environments for your teams to be successful. So what I'd like to leave with you today is, as leaders, we're responsible for creating that environment of support and trust. At the end of the day, they're meeting with you regularly. They're getting direction from you. They're getting what's going to get them through the day from you as a leader. We're setting the tone for how teams react, how they show up. That's where I talked about that consistency. It's reciprocal. In my opinion, if you work with a team that's hard to work with, I bet there's a leader that's hard to work with, right? Because they get that, right? They get, you deal with a leader and your team so much, those behaviors rub off on one another. I think if you're doing all the things that we kind of covered today, it's so much easier to drive your strategy, your vision, your direction, and ultimately the buy-in, it just starts to happen. For me, there was some realization that I had to have that my resume and that my credentials wasn't going to be the thing that was going to drive success for the team. It was going to be me doing all of those things that we talk about to build the trust and buy-in. Any thoughts or anything anyone would like to add on to that?
Not sure.
Back on creativity, when somebody has a good idea or feels that they have a good idea and you want to implement that, how did you recognize them? Was it financially? Was it other avenues? How did you recognize or achieve?
It was a combination. So we actually have a really good recognition system. It's kind of tiered. We can do something where you just kind of give someone like a high five and it gets sent out to the company. But we have all-star awards and MVP awards. So I do a combination. Part of what I like to do is if we're implementing something with our leadership team, I like for that team member to be the one to present the idea, right? I want them to talk with the leadership about the idea they've come up with because I want them to own that. I'm there to support them, but I'm not there to be the one like, this is what I've come up with. But ultimately, it was a combination of that, and then we had some financial awards that we would provide for those types of activities.
What was the size of the team and how senior are your team members?
We could have about 16 total in the team. This is 16 total that is supporting about a $16 million business. Very high volumes. And we had individuals up to about 9 to 10 years that had been on the team. So to include the leader that I ended up coming in behind had been with the team for about 9 years. So had a very long relationship with the team, and they went from me, who they didn't know.
So the odds were stacked against you.
Yes. Sure.
What was your turnover rate on the team during this time of transition?
Zero. Actually, didn't lose anybody. Now, I'll say it was an established team. I think that makes a huge difference. Early on with this, I had several leadership meetings where that was a conversation. Do you think you're going to lose anybody? Do you think someone's going to quit? We said it for a while. And for a while, my answer was, I don't think so, but I'm not sure. I'll keep you posted.
Sure. So I had a couple on things. So I want to take up this. I want to take your presentation as an on-hand when I get the interview and say, what do you think servant leadership does?
Thank you.
But there it is. So thank you for that. I'm curious, bearing in mind that this is recorded, that I wanted to ask, Ty, as far as you were talking more from your position, just your key, I'm curious about your relationship to those above you, if they share your view of what I would call sergeant leadership for your team, or if you're kind of going to have to massage that and work on that.
No, I worked very closely with our VP at Beyond, and actually she was quite supportive, and we had a lot of conversations because she had actually been one of the founding members of this particular part of the organization. So she had been with most of these team members throughout the tenure of the business. So she was very much on board with making sure that we were taking the team in the right direction, obviously from a business standpoint, but I felt very supported as far as the personnel aspect of this.
Can that, second thing is, was your team distributive or were they mostly on person? I'm curious if there's the distributed added to your ability to relate.
Yes, they're entirely global. I have three now that are here. I've got team members in the UK. I've got team members in Chennai, and then some team members in Manila.
No, Bruce, thank you.
Any other comments, questions?
Ike, you've led a lot of teams through Genesis. Do you think the knowledge of the organization was valuable as you changed roles and moved, or do you think it's really the focus on the team?
Absolutely. I think in most organizations, there's a politics, there's a way that the business runs kind of behind the scenes. And you know, having been with Genesis for 8 years, there were aspects of it that didn't make it a little easier. It was easier for me to reach across the aisle, so to speak, to get some support from other supporting organizations. But for sure, had I not had that, if I was someone coming in from the outside, completely brand new, this probably would have been a little bit of a different situation. I think I had a lot of support from other parts of the organization.
Go ahead. What was the timeline, you know, so like why you were excited with the challenge versus now kind of going into this and some of that turnaround that you saw? Was this like 3 months, 6 months?
I was honestly close to the end of last year. And we were kind of pushing towards about 11, 12 months. It was about a year process. There was a lot. There was a lot to unpack. It was, you're talking about a support organization, a sales team, a data and analytics team, and then a tech team. They're all doing completely different work. And they were all, it was trying to, and I'd say the other challenge, which I didn't cover here, it was siloed. Even though we were the same team, we were an operations team, I often got the comments of, you need to talk to this other person. I don't do that. And we had to have a lot of conversations about, we're all going to be successful, right? If you can support one another, if you need help and someone doesn't want to, you know, help you, how does that make you feel? And so there was a lot of you could tell the previous leader was just not focused in certain areas.
So yes. Like you mentioned, close to your team is global. What were some of your tactical strategies for building, first of all, or the global?
Honestly, it's a lot of, in the beginning, I asked a lot of questions, but I tried to ask questions that allowed them the ability to reach out and to speak and to listen. And we had a lot of, I'd say in the beginning, I probably had an excessive, but I had a lot of one-on-ones. It was a lot of spending time. And again, when I talked originally about what are your concerns, again, it wasn't necessarily, I knew what the business was doing. I knew what we needed to work on, but it was personally, how's your family? What's going on? Things like that. So a lot of the strategy was literally just one-on-one time. Understanding, if I'm going to say that I'm here to support you, you got to do it. You've got to be there and you have to spend the time to do it. And I would say that's why it took so long. I would say there wasn't a time period on it that I had in mind. What I had in mind was having a fully functional team that I knew was going to be successful.
Yes. You had talked about in that meeting the employee coming up with their own ideas for a solution to invoice the process. Do you do anything to help drive people explaining their own ideas or coming up with their ideas? Or do you let that go natural?
It's a combination. Some people for sure just don't want, you know, if I say, hey, you've got a great idea, let's share this with the leadership team. I've got some, they're like, sure, sounds great. And they'll jump on and we can talk through it and they're comfortable talking with some of our executive leadership. Some are absolutely not. They're like, yeah, I appreciate it. I'm glad we're doing this, but you can explain it. If they want me to, I'll write an email. Mm-hmm. So I think I leave it up to the person. I don't want to put someone in an uncomfortable situation. But I'd say on the flip side, an example would be one of my administrators for our LMS. She doesn't like presenting. I put her in a situation to present a couple times because I think she has the capability to do it. So I think there's also some room for some stretch goals where you can grow a little bit. And she has presented a couple times and she's done well and she's like, well, it's so bad. So I think I leave it up to the employee, but I think there's opportunity there where you can see where maybe they can get a little bit of a push and do a little more.
One final question, Eddie.
Mike, thank you.